Praise God. Welcome today to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are live as usual in the radio station right here in beautiful downtown Burbank. Oh, no.
Yes.
It's not downtown Burbank. That was Lafayette years ago. It is beautiful downtown Clearwater, Florida, right?
Burbank.
Yes.
They weren't even born.
They wouldn't even know what downtown Burbank was all about.
Sure don't.
Anyway, we are so glad you've joined us today, and we're excited to be able to bring the word to you, to bring great music and great chat and just have fun talking about what God is doing in our lives. And He is doing so many wonderful things. Blessings are huge. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, Beacon of Hope. And here to my right is Connie Farmer, who's our musical director for the show, and you do such a great job. And today you brought along for a couple of songs our live entertainment. Aaron Boone to my left. Yes. Whoa. Aaron gets a round of applause from Engineer Bill, who is really Elroy, the traffic boy. So anyway, we are so glad you're with us, Aaron, and Terry and Nan are in the studio with us. It's a great day. It's been a day of celebration at Beacon of Hope. It's January 15th, 2012. It's an exciting day. We had a huge thing happen at Beacon of Hope today. Connie,
what happened? We had breakfast for lunch.
That's huge, but that's not what I was referring to.
We inducted 12 people as members.
12 new members. That was really cool. 12. Uh-huh. The number 12 means God's government in our lives, which is cool. And so we welcome all those 12. Yeah, we sure do. And Aaron and Terry, you were part of the 12, and you joined us maybe 8 months ago as part of Beacon of Hope. And it's been exciting that you guys are a part of the ministry and just bringing that incredible guitar and music and singing to our praise band. It's just great.
And Terry's voice, too.
And Terry, too, yes. And today you guys sang a duet, and it was really good. Duet. So
they do it.
Yes, they did. It was fun. It was great. So anyway, it's a gorgeous day in Clearwater, Florida, and we're glad all of you are joining us. And you have plenty of time to call a friend, a relative, tell them to tune in. It's a good way to get acquainted with the ministry.
You could win $1 million.
You could win $1 million. How come?
Phone a friend.
Oh, okay. No, guys, that doesn't apply here.
Oh.
No. We're not having a drawing today or anything like that, no. So anyway, we're excited about what God is doing in each of our lives. And Aaron, it never gets old, does it? Just learning the word and growing. And God's done a lot in you in the last year, hasn't he?
In the last 2 weeks.
Last 2 weeks. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, it's exciting. It really is.
It really is, because there's so many times that it seems like in our lives we go along for a period of time and we really don't seem to be growing, or in our minds we don't seem to be growing. And then God just, but again, it comes from our hearts. When we say, God, I want all you have for me. I want to learn what you have for me. He meets us right where we are, does he not?
Yeah. Last night when we went to Winter Jam, there was a line in one of the songs. The guy said, it feels like chaos, but somehow there's peace.
Ooh, praise God.
That's the song that we're playing later.
Okay, good.
And that's
great.
There's no better way to describe it other than that, I think.
Right.
I mean, just when the Holy Spirit...
Maybe we should play that one first.
When the Holy Spirit just moves inside of you and, your heart's racing and you know that you're being called to do something, and there's just...
And when God is doing that kind of communication with us, we're learning right now on Wednesday nights. I'm teaching a new series on hearing from God called Say What? There you go. And it's all about learning to hear his voice and the requirements on our part as far as hearing God's voice are just amazing, because God... I mean, we're not in a vacuum. We need to be understanding that we need to be communicating with him, and then he in turn communicates with us. Because the word says in James 4:7, draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. It's not like he might if he gets, you know, if he gets bored or has nothing better to do. It says draw close to God and he will draw close to you. This show today is all about that, and it's all about Ephesians, where we are right now this month. And if you can make a note to do this, join us in reading the book of Ephesians. It's only 6 chapters. You can read it over and over again this month, and it'll really bless you. Take some notes, learn what God is saying to you. Connie, isn't it exciting what the Word does in us? I mean, really, we've been really discussing this for a while now, how important the Word is.
Mm-hmm. So it just gives you such peace.
Amen.
And knowing that it's written by people who are just commoners.
Right.
Just like the rest of us, who just love God and love Jesus and wanted to be all they could be.
Exactly. And just tell the story, mm-hmm. you know, tell the mm-hmm. story, whatever it was. And so, yeah, it's just a joy to be able to talk about that today. And so we're going to get into the book of Ephesians. If you have your Bible, find that. And we're going to start today with a great song by Mercy Me. Grace Tells Another Story.
You simply cannot find an ounce of good within the heart of man. They say we've got to lay.
Great song, great song. Grace Tells Another Story by Mercy Me. And, you know, God's grace, he's all about saving us, healing us, delivering us. And we just got a request in from one of our people at Beacon. His name is Jim, who's having to be taken to the hospital right now. So we just lift him up right now in prayer. We thank you, God, and we're going to do that. Let's pray for Jim, and let's also just pray for the show as we begin. God, we just lift up our brother Jim in this illness. And, Lord, we just ask that you direct the wisdom and the doctors there at the hospital in the ER as they treat him. And, Lord, we just thank you that he is in your hands, but we just thank you for the healing power that you bring to him in the name of Jesus. We claim it. We stand on it together. Lord, we thank you for this radio show as we begin today. And, Lord, let us be able to just impart your wisdom And Lord, the thoughts that you would have imparted. And we just thank you for your anointing, because it's powerful, it's wonderful, it's strong. And we thank you, Lord, that it's your anointing that breaks the yoke in our lives. We thank you for your precious word as we open it in the book of Ephesians. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. We're in Ephesians chapter 2. And last week we were talking about the fact that Paul talks in the book of Ephesians about the fact that we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. And that is so huge. Let's start with Ephesians chapter 2, and let's start down about verse 4. I'm going to read from the NIV to begin with. But because of this great love for us, and that's what it's all about, God, who is rich in mercy. So he's rich in mercy and he loves us so much. He's rich in mercy and loves us so much. Made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. Even when we were lost, we were hopelessly lost, God already had a plan to redeem us from our transgressions. And it says here in Ephesians 2, about verse 4 or 5, it is by grace you have been saved. It is by grace you've been saved. It is not by works. And, you know, there's that discussion in the book of James about works versus grace. And it is not about what you accomplish that saves you. It is by the free gift of grace. Grace is wonderful. You have a comment on that, Aaron?
I just like the way that the message puts it.
Yeah, it isn't good. Talk about that.
He took our sin, dead lives, and made us alive again in Christ. He did this all on his own with no help from us.
All on his own with no help from us. Well, see, that brings the point right there, front and center, that it's not about our works.
Yeah.
It's not about what we do. And I think so often that we get hung up in our accomplishments in ministry in particular. It's easy for people to get caught up in that and think, well, if I do this, or if I pray this many hours, or if I, you know, preach this many sermons, or whatever the case may be, it's not about that. It is about the free gift of God that he gives us, and that's grace. And so often, though, we feel that we have to do something to deserve it, don't we, Connie? I mean, doesn't that kind of... I think it's something we all struggle with. You know, I got to do this, I got to do that.
Well, in our humanity, usually we have to do something in order to get something. We have to work in order to get a paycheck. We have to, you know, be kind to somebody that's your friend in order for them to be your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of thing. You just expect that you have to do something.
Right.
And yet, you know, out of the blue, somebody, like at Christmas, somebody buys you a gift that you'd never expected.
Okay.
You know, so that's kind of a grace
thing,
because you wouldn't have, or you didn't buy a gift for them, but yet they wanted to bless you with this gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what salvation is. It's a gift, because grace is God's unmerited favor. So when we don't deserve his favor, we have it. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve, which means punishment. That's mercy. When you've done something bad and you need pardon, that's God's mercy. You know, when we don't get what we deserve. Grace is when we get
when you speed
what we
and
don't
you
deserve.
Don't get caught.
Yeah, there you go.
Like I do.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I understand that concept. But grace is all about God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve the favor, but we have it. David said in Psalm 5:12 that he surrounds me with favor like a shield. I don't know about you, Aaron, but I think that's a pretty cool picture of favor, don't you?
It is.
You know, that shield around us, you know?
It is a cool picture.
It is. Yeah, it is. And because grace is just when we don't deserve it.
She's got the itis.
I know. You too just crack me up when you do this. They do this intentionally just to see me squirm.
You just do the question again. Isn't it just so great?
Right. See, they're teasing me big time because these two do this sometimes.
Is.
As a
so
joke for me. So I'm letting them in, the audience, on the joke. So,
well, if they've listened very much, they know.
They know about it. It's by grace you have been saved. Praise God.
Woo!
And And then we have verse 6 of Ephesians 2 that I just love. And then, Aaron, get ready to read it in the Message Bible. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Let's hear that in the Message Bible, because I was reading out of the NIV.
It says, then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Now God has us where he wants us with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus.
All the time in the world to shower grace and kindness on us?
In this world and the next.
And the next. Why do we need kindness? I don't know about y'all, but I think the world is kind of devoid of some kindness.
It's lacking in a major way.
We saw a little bit today.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. You know, there's a lack of kindness. And I don't know how we could define that. Somebody look that up. Let's look up kindness. I want to see what that really means. Because God's got all the time in this world and the next, it says, to shower us with grace and kindness. Well, we just said grace is God's unmerited favor. And that's the favor. And we just need to start walking in that favor instead of letting the devil beat us up. What's the definition of kindness?
The state or quality of being kind.
Okay.
a kind act, favor.
Favor. Okay.
Kind behavior.
Okay.
Friendly feeling or liking.
Okay. So we're talking about a feel good here. Kindness is, I mean, when you think of somebody as a kind person, you would describe them as sweet. You would kind and lovely be, like my dad always said, yes. And we would describe them probably as somebody who is considerate of others, would you think, Connie?
Probably.
Oh, there you go. There's that answer. Okay, so.
Yes, they would be kind to others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the considerateness that I think that God wants us to show others is really huge here. And Jesus is our example because he came to give us that kind of grace and that kind of kindness. Because he's been kind to us. I mean, to forgive us for our sins and heal our bodies. What do y'all think? That's pretty darn kind. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, you know, it's when... It's a choice, you know? I mean, it's if you're ugly to me, I can right. choose to be kind to you.
Exactly.
Even in spite of the ugliness, you know?
Right.
In spite of being hurt or in spite of feelings, you can mm-hmm. choose to be kind to someone.
Absolutely. It is a choice. It really is. And Jesus chose to be full of grace and kindness. You know, that's what he has for us. And so if he is giving us that kind of a blessing on a continual basis of just pouring out the grace and the kindness, it's the devil who comes along and tries to steal all that grace and all that kindness. You know, ever had this happen in your day and boy, you're just feeling God's presence. Things are going good. Somebody's just really blessed you with a kind thought or a little card or an email or a text that says, hey, I'm praying for you or God loves you or I love you or whatever. And then somebody that you run into just tries to just rain steal on that parade. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's hard. I mean, sometimes you're just saying, whoa, wait a minute. You know,
you have to get back into control of your senses instead of wanting to just.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not always the easiest thing to do because the devil is always out to steal, kill and destroy. That's John 10:10. Jesus said it. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. So what is the devil trying to do, Aaron? Let's comment on that versus what Jesus has done here by providing us a continual stream of grace and kindness. What is the devil trying to do here?
He's trying to get into our minds, into our hearts. He's trying to attack everything that, all that good stuff that we're, you know, experiencing that the Lord's giving us.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to come in and say, no, that's not really how it is.
Right.
It's not really how it is.
He's accusing.
Really, yeah.
Yes.
You're not really feeling God's kindness here.
Right.
You're, you know, this is what's happening.
Exactly.
He tries to twist it around and manipulate it to be his thing, and it's not his thing.
Absolutely. That is so right. Connie, you want to comment on that? Because I know the devil does this in a lot of people's minds because the mind is the battlefield. That's where the battlefield is.
It went out of my mind.
Okay. All right. That's okay. She's
it
tired.
It was going to be brilliant.
It was going to be brilliant? That's all right.
Sorry, everybody.
But so what the devil does, he does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, but I came to give you life and to give it abundantly. And a big part of that abundant living has to do with walking in God's grace and his kindness and his favor. So let's go on here with Ephesians chapter 2. About verse 8, and then Aaron, you can read it here in the message if you will. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So read all that in the Message Bible, and let's talk about these good works. What are we supposed to be doing?
Just 8 and 9, yes?
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
And 10.
Okay. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing.
Exactly.
No, we neither make nor save ourselves.
That's right.
God does both the making and the saving.
Amen.
He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do.
Amen.
Work we had better be doing.
Work we had better be doing. And it says in the NIV, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What are those good works? What are we supposed to be doing? What is this grace message all about? What is his plan for us? Who wants to talk about it? Okay.
You do.
I do. I do. I do want to talk about it because, honestly, when we begin to get it down on the inside of us that we have a job to do, that it's not just go to church, absorb, you know, we've got to give it away. Mm-hmm. We've got to give it away. We've got to let that kindness come out of us. We got to let that grace just roll out of us.
We need, a lot of times we're the only Jesus that people were going to see.
Absolutely.
And so we need to extend that same grace that Jesus is giving us to everybody else.
Absolutely. And that's God's plan. That was the plan from the beginning. This series that we're teaching right now on Ephesians is entitled Goodness, Grace, and Glory. And you're not going to see the glory and the power of God until you first understand. It's sequential. I love the way God gave it to me because it is sequential. You don't start off seeing the glory of the Lord. You start off understanding how good God is, you know? Mm-hmm. And that little song that we've sing at the nursing home a lot, and we've sung it for years, God is so good, God is so good, just an old one. But it's just to remind us of what the nature of God really is. I think there's so many people that get bogged down when they don't understand what God's all about. Aaron, was there ever a time in your life when you felt like you didn't understand? You grew up in church, though. So did you always understand the goodness of the Lord, or did you go through a time where you didn't?
I more noticed that the way that the Bible says and the way that Jesus shows himself in the Word of God is different than the way that people show him a lot of times.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
it has to be a conscious decision for us.
Absolutely it does. Yes.
It's got to be right there in the front of our
minds.
Such
a part of us, yes.
That every decision that we're making needs to be being kind to people, mm-hmm. and showing the love of Christ.
Right. And it's not very easy to do sometimes, because don't you think we react quickly?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's our nature.
Well,
Go ahead.
You know, it's just easier if you've been aggravated, it's easier to answer an aggravation instead of just
right
holding it and taking a breath and then thinking about what you should say.
Absolutely. It's easier just to react, mm-hmm. react. It's hard. I mean, this is something you learn to walk in God's grace. It doesn't just happen overnight. You learn to understand the importance of it.
I think, too, sometimes we think that we have a right to react in a harsh way or a
yes.
negative way because,
yes.
well,
yes.
that person hurt me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They deserve to be hurt the same way.
Right.
And that's not it at all. That shouldn't be our attitude.
No. But you're right. Sometimes we feel entitled, or we feel that, that we have that right, you know. But Jesus, I mean, yeah, he got angry at injustice. He got angry at people who did not follow through and do what they're supposed to do and all those things. But he went right on, and through his whole life and message, he was full of grace and the truth. I mean, he was speaking the truth, and that was what it was all about. Oh, and I think that's powerful here, because so often we get all bogged down with the injustice or the problem or the thing we see in somebody else. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes to overcome that and just get away from that and step back from it a minute and realize that we need to be ministering God's grace and his kindness in this situation. I mean, and I think a lot of that has to do with insecurities that people have, and they just want to make a point. And so that, you know, it can get pretty muddy, kind of hurtful. And go ahead. Did you have a comment to that?
Yes. And I think that usually what happens is if you don't answer the way you should or react the way you should, that the Holy Spirit gets you a little jab in the ribs to say, excuse me.
Yeah, he does. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to convict.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, and we all have had that happen. So how does that feel? What does it look like?
Doesn't feel good.
Doesn't feel very good. Why?
Well, because then you start thinking about how that must have made somebody else feel.
Right.
And, you know, then you start beating yourself up, and then the devil takes over and starts really beating you up.
So when harsh words come from our mouths, we need to stop a minute, or come to our minds. We need to stop before they get spoken. But so often they just get blurted out. Don't you think, Aaron?
Yeah.
I mean, they really do. And that's not speaking God's grace here at all. And so Jesus came, and it says in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. So that's what Jesus is full of. He's full of grace. When he says he wants us to be seated with him in heavenly places, it is all about this whole grace thing. You know, it's all about learning to walk in that favor and understanding it. So let's go on with verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel. And this is talking about the differences between the Jews and the Gentiles, where the Gentiles were excluded and felt like they did not belong. And I think when it comes to daily living, so often people feel that they are out of that circle of I don't know what you want to call it, the circle of a friendship, you know, like in a church, it's easy for people to feel that they're not a part, or that they don't belong, like a clique, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then here, the Apostle Paul is talking about, it's not about feeling excluded, because when we feel excluded, then he goes on to say in verse 12, that a lot of times people feel without hope and without God in their lives. And that's the hard part right there. The world is full of these, Aaron. The world is full of people that feel that they are not part of anything, that they don't belong, that God doesn't really love them. He doesn't really understand them. Did you ever feel like that in any time of your life? I mean, growing up in church, maybe you didn't. I don't know.
No, I definitely did. Because I think you do, that can happen, you know? I mean, even in churches, you know, where it's supposed to be all about God.
Right.
We're just human.
Right. We're just human.
And that doesn't give us an excuse.
Right.
To just act out blatantly and do things carelessly. But we are human.
Right.
And so sometimes it does happen.
It does. We make mistakes, and we do hurt other people. Hurt people hurt people, though. We've heard that for years, and boy, if that isn't true, you know?
Oh,
I mean, we really do, you know, because it, so often if we are full of anger or bitterness or whatever, and somebody's hurt us, we're going to reach out and hurt too. Connie, you want to comment on that? Because we see that in counseling a lot, don't we? That
yes.
People have really had a lot of that to deal with.
Because of that, they feel alienated. And I think what I notice the most about Beacon is that everybody has a sense of belonging. I think that's what kind of draws people in once they finally come through the doors. It just kind of keeps them there, cements them into our midst. And they, years ago there was a management survey done, and about people who and why they stay at a job.
Okay.
And really, people would stay at a job because of the biggest reason they would stay at the job is not because of money. They stay at the job because of the people that they work with, and they feel like they belong.
Oh, that's huge.
And a lot
that's
of
huge.
Times people spend more time at work than they actually do at home with their family. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that's another aspect of their life that they need to feel like they belong.
Absolutely. And I really like that Paul goes into this in the mm-hmm. book of Ephesians and showing us that, you know, Jesus already made the way for us to feel that we belong. And yet so often we don't jump into that and roll with that and go with that.
And I think part of it too is that we look for belonging from people around us too.
Mm-hmm.
And not that we can't feel like we belong, you know, in church or whatever, but we belong to Christ.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. We belong to Christ. Now, let's roll with that, because when we feel that we don't belong to Christ, we feel almost privileged or licensed to just misbehave and do whatever we want to, because there's no accountability. When we believe and get to a point in our lives where we understand all of this, that God has already provided the way that we can live victoriously, we can live as overcomers, we don't have to be under the devil. Instead, we talked about last week, Pastor Jim and I, the fact that we are seated, it says right here in Ephesians 2 at the beginning of the chapter, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. In other words, we got to start seeing ourselves differently. Connie, you want to comment on that?
Well, you know, a lot of times when people become Christians, they think that, you know, they're first of all, they're going to go to Africa to serve as a missionary.
They think that everybody has to do that,
they
right?
They have to do their tour duty. And then, second of all, they really don't want to become a Christian because it means that they have to give up their worldly, their living, their lifestyle. And really, there's bumper stickers you see all around. One of them says that I'm a Christian, or something like, I'm a Christian. I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
And so, I think that's the biggest thing is that our mercies are new every morning. We have a new day every day and a new chance to do it right. And He keeps giving us do-overs.
He really does. And we, you know, we need that. You know, we're not able to just, oh, here it is. I just turned right to it because I just remembered it in the Message Bible. I love the way this says it in Psalm 32. If you have your Bible, let's go there a minute. This is one of David's Psalms. And David was not perfect, but so interesting that even with David's failures, adultery, he murdered, David was not perfect. And yet God said, David is a man after my own heart. I find that fascinating. Listen to these words and then get ready to talk about them, you two. Psalm 32, count yourself lucky, David said. How happy you must be. You get a fresh start. Your slate's wiped clean. Count yourself lucky. God holds nothing against you. That's grace right there. God holds nothing against you, and you're holding nothing back from Him. Oh, when I kept it all inside. Now, I love this psalm because David relates to us. We so often keep it all inside, and then we get ulcers, we get physical problems, we get all kinds of behavioral issues because we keep it all inside. David said in verse 3 of Psalm 32, and I'm reading from the Message Bible, when I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder. My words became day-long groans. Boy, that'll preach right there. The pressure never let up. All the juices of my life dried up. The pressure. The pressure of keeping all this in your inside and not drawing on the grace of the Lord. Instead, just trying to figure it out on your own, whatever. But look at verse 5 of Psalm 32. David says, "Then I let it all out. I said, I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God." That is verse 5 of Psalm 32 in the Message Bible. I'm going to read it again. David says, "Then I let it all out." He told God everything. And he said, "I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God." And then I love the next verse. Do you have the Message right there, Connie? Mm-hmm. Go on with that. Go on with that next verse.
Suddenly the pressure was gone.
What? Suddenly?
Suddenly.
Yeah, my word. Suddenly, go on.
The pressure was gone. My guilt dissolved. My sin disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
These things add up. Every one of us needs to pray. When all hell breaks loose and the dam bursts, we'll be on high ground untouched.
Woo! Isn't that good?
Yay.
Each of us needs to pray. I'm teaching that new series on hearing from God. And hearing from God has everything to do with us taking initiative and praying. And right here is the perfect example where David realizes, wait a minute, I'm a mess. I got all this pressure. Verse three again here. He said, "When I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder. My words became day-long groans." What does that say to you? My bones turned to powder. I mean, not literally did his bones turn to powder, but what do you think of when you think of bones, Aaron? I think of strength.
Backbone.
Okay. If we did not have strong bones, okay.
Calcium.
You think about backbone. People that get osteoporosis. Okay,
yeah,
what happens?
True.
They become brittle bones,
they
right?
They turn to powder.
They turn to powder. That is what happens.
Literally.
That is what happens. And so, you know, when and what's the difference, nurse? Tell us about this versus what David is trying to say here spiritually about his bones turning to powder.
Well, if you don't, you said bones, I thought of backbone. And backbone, I think of strength. So I think of the Bible, reading the Bible and praying being the strength.
Right.
To help you be able to stand upright and walk your walk.
Exactly. And when we allow all of our sorrow, all of our disappointments, our hurts to overtake us, it's like it weakens our bones. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Metaphorically speaking, we become like a little sack of jelly or something.
Mm-hmm. Protoplasm.
Protoplasm.
Without a spine.
Yeah, without a spine.
Mm-hmm.
You want to comment on?
I wrote down some notes.
Go ahead.
Here, but I was just thinking, David isn't even the only person in the Bible. The Bible is full of people who messed up royally, and God uses them nonetheless.
Exactly, exactly.
He turns everything around.
Amen.
And just uses them for his glory.
Absolutely. It is amazing. I mean, David is one of them. And I love how frank he is here with this. Go ahead.
And I always think of the song Shepherd Boy because we all see a shepherd boy, but God sees a king.
Yes.
And I mean, that's it right there.
Right there. Because we look at each other sometimes and we see, or we look within. Let's just talk about that. We look within and we feel, oh, if they only knew that I had that attitude or I had that thought or I really yelled and screamed at my spouse or I kicked the dog or whatever that, no, I haven't done any of that. But I'm just telling you that we all have those moments in time where we think, oh my, I hope nobody knows that I have this thought or this attitude or this action. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that is the prime stuff that the devil comes after. When we start feeling that way, and we start being down on ourselves. And like David says here, when I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder. My words became day-long groans. We can't even articulate how great God is. We're just groaning and moaning about our own mess.
And I think, like, we turn it into this big ordeal. And really, it's Satan that does that in our minds,
in our
hearts. But we turn it into this big ordeal about, oh, well, I messed up and I can't, you know, be used by God anymore or whatever. And really, you can turn around the very next second and say, you know what? I did mess up. I did say that out of anger, and I'm going to do better next time.
Absolutely.
And go and ask that person for forgiveness.
Absolutely.
And then it's, and ask the Lord for forgiveness and just start over. It doesn't have to be this huge thing.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be beating yourself up for 6 hours and
right.
then, you know, oh, well, okay, now God's forgiven me because I thoroughly beat myself up
right.
for 6 hours. It
and
doesn't
it's
have
not
to
like,
be like that,
that at all. In fact, I, you know what? We're taking this show a little differently than I thought I was going to go to, but that's great because
what a surprise.
What a surprise. This is God's grace, and I think there are people out there that need to be reminded right now that you got to stop beating yourself up. David said here in verse 5 in the Message Bible, "Then I let it all out. And I said, I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God. I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God." That doesn't mean I stand up in the middle of the church and say, oh, I had this thought, and then I had that thought. And then blah, blah, blah. It's not like that. David said, I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God. Okay? 1 John 1:9, I remind all of us of that verse because it's powerful, and I memorized it as a little tiny girl. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just
to forgive
us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I love that. It's a, one of those if-then statements that we were talking about Wednesday night at Bible study. If I do my part, if I confess my sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The if part requires me doing something about it. Connie, do you want to comment on that? Because I think that's huge when it comes to grace.
Well, I want to go back to about the bones turning to powder and then
okay.
my words became day-long groans.
Yeah.
When you get up on the wrong side of the bed or you have an argument with your spouse in the morning when you're just getting up or whatever.
Right.
And it ruins your day.
Right.
You have that choice right then. If it's going to be day-long groans or if it's going to be, that's it. Okay.
Amen.
I'm sorry. And this and this and this. And then move on.
Exactly. But, you know, some people are programmed that they want their spouse
Drama.
Or their friends or whatever to suffer for the mistake or the comment or whatever. And so they just prolong it during the day and feel sorry for themselves and then have a pity party. And then when that happens, you can't just move on and get to where David says right here. Well, let's look at verse 4. David said, the pressure never let up. All the juices of my life dried up. What are the juices of his life?
Well, funny you should say that because I was just going to talk to you about the well.
All right.
And how we listened to Mark Hall.
I was listening to it in the car yesterday.
Yeah. When he was telling us about how if we make, if we don't use Jesus as our well.
Right.
You know, the woman at the well came there to get water.
Exactly.
And if she only knew that she was talking to the well and drawing water
Amen.
Out of a hole in the ground.
Right.
Instead, you know. So if we choose to draw our water or our strength from our spouse, or make them be our strength,
right?
Instead of Jesus,
right?
Then we're not going to have the strength that we need to get through the day, to get through our life, to get
absolutely
to make the relationship work,
right?
To make anything work in your life,
it's got to all come from God.
Right.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Which goes right back to a couple of weeks ago when Connie was talking about the light source.
Yes,
and you know people come to church and. You know, they take a little bit of that about that that energy there, and then they're not being plugged in,
right?
Where they actually can
right.
get charged up.
Mm-hmm.
They're
you
just
have
taken
individual
from little sources,
right. Get their own charge,
exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Listen,
they draw from somebody.
Oh
else.
Boy, that's true. Boy, we'll talk more about this in a minute. This song, whatever you're doing, name of the group, Sanctus Real.
Wait till you hear it.
Awesome.
It's time for healing, time to move on. It's time to fix what's been broken too long. Time to make right what has been wrong. It's time to find my way to where I belong. There's a way. All I can do
Somehow it's peace. Comment on that, Aaron. Woo!
Man, that's
great line, isn't it?
So true.
Yes.
So true. I mean, just the way God wrecks you from the inside out, you know? It's just,
do you want to explain that? Some of our audience may go, what do you mean God wrecks you?
Man, he just, it's like somehow you didn't know that you were broken and he knew it. And mm-hmm. so he's taking you apart piece by piece and putting you back together in the way that is going to make you work to the fullest ability.
Absolutely. And Connie, you and I see this in counseling all the time. People have to face those areas in their lives, don't they, before they can really be healed.
Sure. Absolutely. We have to be able to talk some of those things out and be able to deal with them, because they've, most of the time, they've stuffed them, stashed mm-hmm. them, ignored them, you know, and just went on. And it's those kinds of things that are holding them back. And they, some of them, they don't even really remember.
Exactly. But when they put their head in the sand, and if this applies to you, anybody out there in radio land, take it seriously. A relative of mine was quizzed in front of me a few days ago as to what was wrong with her hand that she didn't mm-hmm. seem to be able to use anymore. And she said, well, a few years ago, I broke it at Christmas time, and I had family there, and I didn't have time to go get it set. And so I really never went and got it set. Seriously, I'm serious, what she said. Serious as a heart attack. And she said, so I did not get it set, so that's what's wrong with it now, and I can't use it. However,
did anybody buy it?
No, nobody bought it. Okay. But if that were the case, and if that were true, mm-hmm. okay, in her case, it's not. It was an excuse. But if that were the case, and you have a serious break in your mm-hmm. body, because mm-hmm. I've had I think I've only had one actually my whole life, this wrist thing. Mm-hmm. But when you have a break, you go to the doctor, you get your x-ray, and you get into your cast or however, and you then you do physical therapy after it comes out, and then you it's okay. I mean, it can be restored, you know, right? Go ahead. Comment on that, Nurse.
Well, a lot of times the break, sometimes it's displaced.
Right.
So they have to pop it back in.
Right.
Which isn't comfortable, but through the miracles of pharmacology, it works out pretty good.
Right.
And then there are sometimes where you have to have surgery and have to have it pinned. It just depends on how bad the fracture is.
Right.
And the break is.
But if you don't do that, what's going to happen?
If you don't do that, you won't be able to use your, depending on where it's at, if it's in a joint, if it's just in a long bone, it will limit your mobility.
Right.
If it's in a joint, it could totally limit the function of
Absolutely.
That joint.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, Aaron, when it comes to emotional crappé. That we've all had in our lives, all our lives, when things have happened to us. What happens if we just choose to bury our head in the sand, do nothing about this junk that has happened to us? What happens? What's the fallout of all of that?
It's enabling. It's just like Con was saying about the broken bones. If you stuff things down, there's only so much that you can stuff down before it's just. The pimple.
Yeah.
Theory.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Pimple.
You know, like you just gotta.
When it's finally got a head on it, you need to bust it so you can get well. So it can heal. And this is so true emotionally. We've been talking about this a lot lately on the show because God wants to do a lot of healing this year in so many people. And in order to heal, they need to face what it is that's going on.
I think I've come to a new realization of different kinds of healings.
Okay.
In the times that of our counseling and the things that some people have gone through are just
horrendous
things.
We hear it all the time.
And it's got to be almost debilitating to those people, and yet they're sitting there in front of you continuing to act like they're living their life, and us knowing that we can help them get rid of that crappé.
Yeah.
So that their life is not debilitated,
right,
and that they can live it to the fullest, should they choose to walk out the deliverance part and walk out the their responsibility. It's amazing.
It's amazing that people, and David right here says it. I love it in verse 3 of Psalm 32, because David, the man that had the heart after God, says he was keeping it all inside. And it says, when I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder and my words became day-long groans. Isn't that interesting that even David went through a period of time at some point, probably more than one period of time, because he was human like us, where he did not face some of these things. Instead, what it did was zap his strength, take his joy, took his strength and his joy, because he's groaning all day long. His bones are like powder, so he's weak. You know, there's no strength. There's no joy. Oh, my. We got to get a hold of this and realize God's grace is new every morning, and it's his faithfulness is there, and we got to start walking in this. Aaron, did you have a comment to that?
No pressure.
No pressure at all.
I'm just, I don't know. I'm still back on.
Go ahead.
Just the way that God really...
Talk about that. How he gets a hold of us on the inside and starts working on us?
Yeah.
You've experienced it. In your young years.
Yes. I've been through counseling with you guys over the last couple months. And I think when things happen in your life that are traumatic or you just you put on this mask.
Oh, the mask. Yes.
So that when you walk around.
The pseudo piece.
People don't see.
Faux piece.
The hurt.
Right. Right.
And they don't see all the damage that's right. been done.
Right.
And so over time, you convince yourself that you're whole and that you're not broken. And so for me, when God came in and started taking things apart piece by piece.
And showing you attitudes.
I was like, wait a second, I'm not broken.
Right. You said to him, I'm not broken?
Yeah. And as
it's okay,
he
go,
starts.
Go do somebody else. I'm not broken.
Yeah. You know, and as he starts taking you apart piece
right.
by piece,
yes.
you realize, wait a second.
Shows you.
I just convinced myself that I wasn't broken.
Right.
And then he breaks you more mm-hmm. in a different way.
Yeah.
And he starts to give you his heart.
Yes.
And then things that break his heart break yours.
Ooh, that's profound right there,
girl.
Are
you singing that song?
Oh, that's
break my heart for what breaks yours.
Oh.
What song is that from? I can't even
Jesus,
think of
Friend of Sinners.
Oh, that's a great song. But, you know, that is exactly what you're yes. saying right there, Aaron, is exactly what happens. And God begins to say, okay, I want to do this fresh work. I want to pour my grace and my kindness. That's how this discussion got started a little while ago. Jesus, God, is all about pouring his grace and his kindness into us. Okay, it is a kind thing to make us face the junk in our lives, if you think about it. We normally want to say, well, that's not kind. God's just going to smooth that over so I don't have to feel any hurt. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Because it comes back up in the wrong times.
Sure it
when
does.
When you keep cramming it down, it'll come out in, you know, something similar will happen or something will happen and it will come out and it will come out in a mighty way mm-hmm. that you can't control.
And it will not
and
be pretty.
Will, no, it will not be pretty.
Aaron, go ahead.
Because it's like that the song Blessings. Sometimes
yes.
his healing comes through tears.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, you just, that's just how God works.
Right. And it's a blessing
it's
when
not,
you face things.
He's not masking it over.
Right.
He's dealing with it
right.
so that you can move on and become everything that he
Ooh,
wants you to be.
Child, that's right on. That is so right on. And when we don't face those things, when God is dealing with our hearts and we say, no, I refuse to look at that. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to talk about that. When that happens, what really is going on is that fear. I'm throwing this out. Fear has taken over,
yeah.
and fear has kept us from dealing with the pain of the past. And David says it so well here. When I kept it all inside, I'm still on Psalm 32, verse 3, because this is God's rhema word right now for a whole lot
it
of
is.
People.
It
really is. When I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder, and my words became day-long groans.
So many times when we listen to things that have happened to people, sometimes they just, you know, sometimes it's interesting because sometimes they just matter-of-factly just state it as if it's just cold hard facts and they're not even involved in it.
Right.
You know, it happened to somebody else.
Right. They've separated themselves from
yes. And yet you can still see the hurt and that powder, the bones,
yeah.
the
yeah.
backbone is not there.
And
the spine is gone.
The spine is gone, and instead they're living in fear. It's
right.
fear versus
yes.
faith. We're going to come back on this in a few minutes, guys. This has totally gone a different direction, and mm-hmm. that's because this word that God is giving is for you, more than likely.
Yes.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
We had a call for Erin Boone wondering when she's about to play her songs.
right up right now. Here comes the first one in just a second. She's getting her guitar and she will be singing here in just a second. She's got a couple of them she's going to do pretty soon. And we're glad you joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. This has been a powerful discussion and God is doing some great things. So anyway, we just thank God right now for the opportunity to be with you today on Living the Good Life. And you are so welcome to go to our website, beaconoffolkministries.com. Catch up on old shows that maybe you've missed. Because last Sunday, Pastor Jim and I really dissected Ephesians 1 and 2. And it was really good, mm-hmm. really getting in on the... Don't you think, Connie? I mean, it was a really good show. Go to our website.
I watched or listened to most of it. Just the last few minutes I didn't get to. But yeah, it was very good. Very.
So people can go to our website and catch up on the old shows.
Yes. www.beaconofhopeministries.com.
That's exactly right.
And look for the radio icon and click on it and you can pick the show.
Yeah.
I think she's going to be good just like that.
She going to be okay like that?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, yes, we are excited about this teaching we're doing right now, goodness, grace, and glory. We welcome you to our services at Beacon of Hope in Clearwater. We're at 3700 Almerton Road, which is very easy to find in a very nice, shopping, plaza. And we're on the end in the back and it's great, but we've outgrown it, Connie. We believe in God. We have so outgrown it and, just been a little over a year, but we have, and we're believing God for more space, and by May, he's got to, because, you know, those of you out there that are not in the Tampa Bay area, but still receive ministry from this show and want to be a part financially and a partner, and maybe sometime come by and visit us if you're in the Tampa Bay area, but you know, we don't say much about money, but we really want to provide people an opportunity to go to our website and use the PayPal button because planting, I mean, talk about that, Connie. What happens when we plan our finances?
Well, even not so, you can do PayPal, but you can also send checks. And, you know, there's probably some people out here that use our radio show as their church service.
There definitely
which
are.
Is more than, we're more than happy to provide that.
Right.
But, and if you're looking for a place to tithe, you know, we're fertile ground. We teach the Word of God to people who God, you know, that people won't let in their churches a lot of times. And, you know, God wants everybody to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
And, to have the opportunity.
Yes.
To know him and to love him and to be able to walk in peace and live their lives the fullest.
Yeah.
And to be able to carry the message even out further than what we can carry it.
Absolutely. So it's so important that this opportunity is given. And so, yeah, we welcome you to plant your mm-hmm. finances
Absolutely.
This year in Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's fertile ground. We're in our 11th year as a ministry. We're not a fly-by-night, come here, come there.
I mean, we've doubled our members.
Yes, this past year.
Just in this last year, we've doubled. And we plan to at least double by the next 6 months.
Yes.
That's just what God has told us, and we believe him. And
can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Being that she says she's over at a new place, I mean, just around the corner is the buy here, come here places, the car lots. And I had to take a friend to search one of those places.
Right.
And then she said this one name, whatever, and the guy's car lots from Oldsmar, and they're friends of my parents, J.T. Goss.
Okay.
They're like sort of around the corner from your place.
Uh-huh.
And when we passed your place, I started praying. I said, that'll be the car. And that was the car.
All right, cool. Well, you know what? God's doing so many things, and we have been blessed with having this location. It's been good, but we just need to expand. So Aaron Boone is ready to sing. And what are you going to sing, Aaron?
It's called Your Grace is Enough.
Your Grace is Enough, which goes right along right now.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So just belt it out there because I think we'll be able to pick it up, okay? All right, let's pick it up.
You wrestle with the
Praise God. Wow. We're trying to move the camera.
Yeah, move it, camera lady. Just
which
to the
one?
Left. To the
which
left.
One? The
like this.
One?
Let me show you. No. See, I'm doing like this. If I was moving, look like that. See, look. I can bend backwards now because I had back surgery thanks to living the good life and all the prayers. See that? Look at that.
There
see?
You go, Bill. It's our crazy engineer. Which camera?
I'll come in and fix it. Just start talking.
All right. Okay, there we go. Aaron, great song. I've never heard that song. That was great. You know, those in our listening audience should come and experience Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at Beacon of Hope.
Should they ever?
I mean, we rock it out, don't we? It's just good time, and
when
it's
she was
great.
Playing a guitar, it almost sounds like there's a drum inside
yeah, it
that
did,
guitar.
Didn't it? It really sounded good. Yeah,
there
so.
Is. You didn't know?
We're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. That was Aaron Boone, and she plays that guitar and sings like crazy at Beacon of Hope Live and on Sunday mornings at 10, and she's just excellent. We thank God for it. We are in Ephesians, and we are talking about God's grace. We're talking about how much he loves us and the kindness of God. And we got into a very interesting discussion a little while ago, and we're going to go back to that in a few minutes. But let's go back to Psalm 32 here for a moment and talk about the ability that God has to absolutely heal our past mistakes and our failures. And so often we just keep all those mistakes and failures bottled up down on the inside of us instead of dealing with them. Aaron, we just absolutely do. And David here says in Psalm 32 that he made a decision in verse 5 to make a clean breast of his failures to God. Now, that's not something that just happens. That's something you decide to do, okay? That's not something that you can just ignore, which a lot of people do. The failures, the problems, the traumas, the hurts in their past, and they just stuff it down, as Aaron was talking about a minute ago. But David says in Psalm 32, verse 5, "Then I let it all out to God." That's what he did. He said, "I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God." Suddenly, the pressure was gone, my guilt dissolved, and my sin disappeared. My guilt dissolved, and my sin disappeared. That's huge, because the devil just plays with our minds in the area of guilt and condemnation so bad. And yet, when we confess to God, "Wait a minute, here's how I failed you, Lord. Here's what happened in my life." And we mentioned this verse a few minutes ago before we went to the station ID, 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So let's look at verse 6 of Psalm 32. And I'm in the Message Bible. "These things add up. Every one of us needs to pray." I love that. Every one of us needs to pray. "When all hell breaks loose and the dam bursts, we'll be on high ground, untouched." Every one of us needs to pray. When all hell breaks loose and the dam bursts. What's that talking about, when all hell breaks loose, Connie, and the dam bursts? What are we talking about here? I mean, we all know this happens.
The attacks from Satan, the bad things that happen to us during our lives all seem to pile up all at once. And our perception also is, that everything is piling up on us.
Right.
So yeah. We just, start having our own little pity party.
Our pity party and whatever. Yeah. But when we start praying and suddenly we let these things go to God, what happens, Aaron? What goes on the inside of us? Don't you think there has to be like an attitude adjustment where we see our need to let all this out? I mean, so often the devil persuades us that we don't need to talk about this. No, this is too bad, or this hurt is too intense, or the abuse was too serious or too painful or too embarrassing. You know what I'm talking about?
For me, it was really my need to submit to the Lord's working.
Okay.
When the opportunity presented itself and you guys said, okay, we're gonna get you to the point of going through deliverance and whatnot like that, I could have said no.
Don't want to be delivered of any of this. I just want to keep all this.
Yeah. But, you know, I think DL said it the best today, and he wasn't even talking about this, but don't block your blessing.
Oh, yes. He did say that. That's good.
And we were actually talking about tithe then, but
right.
To give that opportunity up and walk away.
Right. From the healing that you could have just because of embarrassment or shyness or fear and, of what somebody may think of you.
And you touched on that, you know, when you were doing the series Being Blessed Beyond.
Right.
You know, that the guy walks by with the plate of hors d'oeuvres and, you know, he's, would you like one? No, I'd like seven. Thanks.
Right. Right.
That's where he's calling us to.
Right.
He's calling us to, okay, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Do it.
I'm ready to bless you. Are you ready to step up to the plate?
Right. That's his favor. That's his grace.
Yeah.
Yes. And when we hold back and say, no, that's okay. You know, you really want to be changed.
I'll just take one, thanks.
I'll take one. But when we get really, really honest is what you're talking about. And we say, no, I really would like to have seven of those. Those are great, you know. And we so often don't extend ourselves to receive the healing that God wants to do in us because we're back there thinking, I don't want anybody to know how I'm really hurting or what's going on the inside of me or how painful my life really is. Do you have a comment on that?
Well, I think you have to want it more than anything else because you have to be willing to do whatever it takes to get there.
Absolutely.
And I can speak just for myself. When I first started coming to Beacon and I couldn't figure out what you were talking about when you kept saying about you could be freed of this stuff. And, you know, I'd been in other churches and grew up in church, and I just figured it was, you know, oh, gosh, you know, I'm going to have to pray more and do this and do that, you know. And I didn't realize that what it actually involved was not really, it hurt. It was a big thing for me to be able to open up. But there were parts of me, huge parts of me that needed and felt like I was tired of carrying the baggage.
Exactly. We got to get to that point.
And I got to the point where, you know, I had done a little bit of counseling with a therapist, just for some other stuff. And I mean, it really wasn't anything major. And so when you started talking about that, I thought, you know what? I have to be the first one to sign up for this because I'm sick of carrying it.
Absolutely. But we got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Right.
You know, and so often people are, they fall into that self-pity trap, mm-hmm. you know, and don't want to really be set free from the junk that keeps them bound up.
Not only the self-pity, but if your life is going well,
right.
which my life was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the time that I started at the church, I was working a really good job. I had really a lot of money.
Yeah.
Not millions, but you know, I made very good money for what
right.
I did.
Right.
And, you know, life was good. But yet I knew there was something that wasn't there. And that was why I came to church to begin with, because mm-hmm. I was looking for that special church.
Yes.
And then once I started into the counseling,
right.
it was almost once we got through and recognized what the junk was.
Right.
Then it was almost like when it was time for me to have my deliverance, it was almost like I just handed it to you on a platter because it was, I'm done with
right.
this. Get it out
and
of here.
And what we're talking about when we say deliverance, and Aaron just said it, is when we allow God, Jesus is the deliverer.
Yes.
So when we, in a setting, we're sitting there and we allow God to show the deliverance ministers the things that need to be prayed out of you, basically out of your emotional level. And it's not demon possession. It's nothing like that. We're talking about oppression when we are feeling oppressed by the junk of our past. But it comes to, and Aaron, you said this a minute ago. I got to go back to this point. It comes to submission. to God. Absolutely. I want to go back to that point. Why is that so vital here to receiving God's grace and kindness? Because that's what we're saying here. We're saying we can have this grace, we can have this kindness, but we have a part in this. Along with that, I've got to bring up Wednesday night, we can hear from God, but we have a part. We play in that.
It's because we have free will. God gives us free will to choose.
Right.
To choose to believe in him, to choose whether or not we're going to accept the gift of salvation that he gives to us.
Right.
We have a choice in everything.
Right.
He gives us that choice.
He does.
Which is, I mean, that's just it, you know? Like, he gives us the choice.
And we can continue, like David did here in Psalm 32, to get so wrapped up with the pain on the inside that he actually says, I'm going to go back to it, Psalm 32, verse 3, when I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder and my words became day-long groans. That's the Message Bible.
And for some people, you know, it's like that. They have to wait until that point, you know?
Good point.
You know, I think everybody's different. So some people are, okay, God, I'm on board.
Yeah.
I've heard what you're saying. I'm on board.
Right.
Right here, right now. And other people are like, no, not happening.
Yeah. Afraid of the healing.
And so God's like, okay, you know what? That's fine. I'll let you live in what emotional baggage you have.
For a little while longer.
Yeah. And then he comes knocking on the door again. You ready to give that up yet?
Right. That's a great way to put it. And so often, you know, so often we struggle so long in getting to the point of submission to God when it comes to healing and on the inside. I mean, Beacon of Hope is all about healing. In fact, our slogan, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives, that's what we're about. And the ministry that I founded and pastored in Indiana for 7 years was all about the same thing. That's our vision. From Isaiah 61, where Jesus quoted it in Luke 4 in his first sermon when he stood up publicly and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring healing to the brokenhearted, you know, and freedom to prisoners and restore the hope and the life of people. That's what it's all about. That's what Beacon is all about. That's what we individually are all about. Comment on that.
The song that I just did, Your Grace is Enough.
Yes.
One of the lines is, you wrestle with the sinner's heart. And he so does that, you know? I mean,
right.
he wrestles with us.
Well, it's so hard for us to give up our old ways of thinking, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And our old behaviors. But yet the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he just keeps coming back and kind of napping us on the shoulder. You ready? Let's talk. You know, don't you think that's what's been going on in you lately?
Yeah.
Connie, you want to comment on that? So often we get to the point of real discouragement and despair when we feel like there's no hope for the pain and the hurt down on the inside of us. We feel like, how can this ever change? How can I ever feel any different? And this is good news today, dear ones, because you can be free.
Yeah.
You can come to the point like David here, when it says in verse 4 of Psalm 32, the pressure never let up, all the juices of my life dried up. Then, verse 5, I let it all out, and I said, I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God. And suddenly the pressure was gone, my guilt dissolved, and my sin disappeared. Oh my, what did it take there? David had to get involved with his healing, Aaron. David had to get involved with his own healing. Connie, you want to comment on that?
Well, until we... pressure was gone, the guilt was dissolved,
yep.
My sin disappeared. Until we realize that we need to have forgiveness.
Right.
And ask for forgiveness and ask for God to help us to get on with our lives. We're just sitting and spinning our wheels.
Because go on.
It's just fruitless.
So often we need to forgive the people that hurt us the most. Mm-hmm. We need to forgive the abuser or forgive the one who spoiled the marriage or whatever the case may be.
The disappointments.
Yes, the disappointments. And it is so easy to just stay in anger, hostility, mad, frustrated. If they hadn't done that, I wouldn't be here in this mess right now. Mm-hmm. And so we make excuses for our own place of hurt.
By blaming them.
By blaming. We blame shift, and we don't take responsibility for our part of it. And it's so hard to forgive sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we need to do. And I know I teach this a lot on the air, but I'm going to say one more time. Forgiveness does not mean you agree with what was done to you. I'm going to say that again. Forgiveness does not mean you agree with what was done to you. Instead, Aaron, get ready with another song, will you? Instead, it means that we let go of that hurt. That person doesn't owe us anymore. We give it to God. We forgive by an act of our will. Okay, they don't owe me anymore. It doesn't mean I agree with what they did to me. I let it go.
There's nothing they can ever do to make it right.
They can't make it right.
Really.
That's the whole problem.
I mean, so the only thing you're doing is hurting yourself by holding on to that bitterness.
And so often, though, we concoct little stories, little videos in our brain. We've all done it. I've mm-hmm. done it. Where we think, oh, so-and-so is going to call me and say, boy, I really messed up. I was so sorry. You know, and invariably, that never happens. So what happens is we wait around for somebody to come to their senses. We've all lived this.
We're not going to take the first step.
And exactly.
Forget
and we
that.
Wait on somebody else to come to their senses and say what a miserable wretch they were. Mm-hmm. When in fact, God is saying, I want you to take the step of forgiveness, whether they ever make it right or not. You let it go.
And they probably don't even know you're upset.
Exactly. A lot of times that's the case. What are you singing, Aaron Boone?
I gotta get my headphones.
So you can hear what's going on here. Yeah.
And this time you can see her on webcam.
All right. There we go.
Singing a song by Lindsay McCall. It's called Take My Hand.
Ooh, cool. All right.
We used it last week.
Heard you say it, I know you did. You call me out into the waves and wind. And for a moment, I was brave and strong. Now everything is going wrong. Didn't you? Asking for the reasons you hold or the safety of the land. I just need you to take my hand. I could have stayed back where I was before and never met you in this raging storm. All I need, but fear is all that I can find in me. Didn't you know that I'd be scared? Couldn't you see I was unprepared? Not asking for the reasons you hold or the safety of. I would be okay if you take my hand. I wouldn't be afraid if you take my hand. All would be okay if you take my hand. If you take my hand. not asking for the reasons you hold or the safety of land. I just need you to take. Won't you please come and take? I just need you to take my hand.
Great song. I love that. That's great. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, there you go. Can you do Blessed Be the Name in a little while? Could you do that?
Yeah.
All right. In about 10
minutes
or so.
Are you sure you want
so.
That or Days of Elijah?
Well, I know. Connie, she's just got this Days of Elijah thing going,
she's
isn't
stuck
she?
In her head all day, I think.
I know. You got it stuck in your head. Well, yeah. Well, the reason
since
I'm thinking
Wednesday.
Blessed Be the Name is because it does talk about those yes. times in our life where things are not going the way we think they should.
Yeah.
And what is the response that we are supposed to have? You know, what is our responsibility here? And we are talking here in Psalm 32 right now. If you still have your Bible, let's look at it one more time here in the Message Bible. In verse 5 is when David says, I let it all out. I said, I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God. By the way, if you have a prayer request right now that you want to send in, we're going to pray in just a few moments for the needs. Our dear Jim at the hospital right now is not doing well. So we are going to come against that pain that he's experiencing and pray for him again in just a moment. And if you have a prayer request, send it to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. It'll come right up right here on the screen. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. So David says, I made a clean breast of my failures to God in Psalm 32, verse 5. And then suddenly, the pressure was gone. My guilt dissolved. My sin disappeared. Verse 6, these things add up. Every one of us needs to pray. When all hell breaks loose and the dam bursts, we'll be on high ground untouched. God's my island hideaway, keeps danger far from the shore. Throws garlands of hosannas around my neck. Oh, my gosh. Connie, can you finish reading that whole psalm in the Message Bible there, starting with verse 7?
Which one's 7?
God's my island hideaway.
God is my island hideaway, keeps dangers far from the shore, throws garlands of hosannas around my neck. Let me give you some good advice. I'm looking you in the eye and giving it to you straight. Don't be ornery like a horse or a mule that needs bit and bridle to stay on track. God defiers are always in trouble. God affirmers find themselves loved every time they turn around. Celebrate God. Sing together, everyone. All you honest hearts, raise the roof.
Boy, that says it right there.
We raise the roof today.
We raise the roof. Absolutely. He says, don't be ornery, verse 9, like a horse or a mule that needs bit and bridle to stay on track. And I think that is a problem with a lot of people, that we get ornery. I mean, I like that word, actually. I've always used that word a lot, because orneriness is when we are doing our own thing. You know, we are not wanting to submit. This orneriness, he's talking about like a horse or a mule that needs bit and bridle to stay on track. You know, I cannot let my two little dogs, Bailey and Zoe, out of the house just to run around the house, go, you know, whatever, do their thing without their leashes. I cannot. They have proven that I cannot, because any neighbor that happens to come out of their house, or the mail lady, whoever it is that comes down the street, and we don't have a lot of traffic, it's a cul-de-sac, but even if anybody comes out, they have to tell them off for being on the street, for daring to come down the street. And I have learned, unfortunately, that it's not okay just to turn them outside and let them do their own thing. They have to have a leash. Your Ellie's probably the same way.
Oh, man. She just wants everybody's attention all
she
the time.
She wants everybody's attention. They do,
and
too.
If,
that's
if,
their problem.
Yeah. And if you don't give it to her, she just whines like she's being hurt.
Right. Exactly.
I could never let her run without a leash.
No.
On, ever.
So, and see, so many of us are like this ornery horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to stay on track, because we get off and do our own thing. Connie, you want to talk about that a minute? Because I know we all do this. Don't you think?
Well, I was thinking that God really wouldn't put a bit of bridle on us because he doesn't want to try and control us. He wants us to have our own free will.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, I think that he allows things to happen sometimes that would work like a bit or bridle. Yeah, that's it.
That's 10 times fast.
That would work the same way as far as jerking us back, getting our attention and getting us back into line.
Right.
Shaking us up and giving us a suddenly moment.
Yeah.
To shake us up.
You want to comment on that, Aaron?
In complete agreement.
You're in agreement. Okay, so what David says here is don't be ornery like a horse or a mule that needs bit and bridle to stay on track. Don't be like that. In other words, if David is saying don't be like that, then that means we can function not being ornery. Okay? We can keep our emotions in check. We can be sweet, kind, and lovely, as my dad has always said all these years. Sweet, kind, and lovely. We can be that way. And it's not okay to bark at people. It's not okay to let our frustrations and our hurts out and take it out on people. Aaron?
Just when you said that, I was thinking that's another reason, to get rid of the junk, you know? Because so many times we do... you know, hurt people. We spew our junk, our hurt, and our pain that has nothing to do with other people. We spew it out
we
on them.
We spew it out.
And they're getting the brunt of something that we've felt for so long and buried deep inside us. But really, it just comes out as us being jerks.
Exactly. Because a lot of times it's the result of rejection in the past, insecurity, unworthiness, not feeling... good enough, feeling less than, and as a result of that, so often the ones that have the biggest mouth, okay, I'm telling you from years of experience in counseling here, the ones that have the biggest mouth and try to belittle, control, put people down, do it because they feel that they're this tall on the inside. They feel that they have no worth and no value. Unworthiness has taken over.
It just takes the focus off of themselves.
Right. And so they put somebody else down. And so we see that all the time in interactions, people's interactions. And so David says here in verse 9, don't be ornery. Don't be ornery like a horse or a mule. No, don't be like that. Come on. You're ornery, really. I'd like to know what ornery means. Can you look that one up, Terry? Look up ornery. I want to know what that means because, I mean, I've said that for years, even to my kids. Don't be so ornery, you know? And I think it has to do with being negative and being mean, probably, if I had to guess it. But anyway, you're back to your point, Aaron, where so often we get so tied up in... Huh? Okay. We get so tied up in the effects of our past with the hurts and the pain, that it comes out as just actions that are not good. Go ahead.
Oh, it's
Fred. Oh, it's still coming up. Yeah. Okay. All right. So in verse 10 of Psalm 32, God defiers are always in trouble. God affirmers find themselves loved every time they turn around. This is why I want you to do Blessed Be the Name, because that song says that there are those times that things aren't going the way we think they should, that we don't feel that we're walking in God's grace or his mercy. But we need to understand that when we are affirming God, and that's meaning praising him, blessing him, giving him all of the glory and the praise, no matter what's going on. What's ornery mean, Aaron? You just got it. Okay.
Yeah. It says ugly and unpleasant in disposition or temper.
Ooh.
Stubborn.
Yeah.
Low or vile.
Ooh.
Inferior or common. Ordinary.
Oh, my. That's huge.
Yeah.
Say that. Did you just lose it? Is it gone?
No.
Okay, say it one more time.
Ugly and unpleasant in disposition, stubborn, low or vile, inferior or common, ordinary.
Okay. So often we feel those things. People do. They feel all of that and feel common or low or simply ordinary and not special. God says, you are so special to me. I fill you with grace. I fill you with mercy. I fill you with kindness. That is what God has to offer us. But so often we're back there on all those feelings of unworthiness. Did you have a comment to that? And so often we find ourselves drugged down by the actions of others from the past, and it translates into our own unworthiness, our own orneriness, and that's not walking in God's grace. It's not walking in His mercy. It just isn't. Whoa. So what do we do about it? Well, in verse 11 of Psalm 32, it says this. David says, celebrate God. Celebrate mm-hmm. God. So here's David coming to a realization that it's not going to do any good to go back over all that stuff that causes him to groan all day long and his bones turn to powder. You know, David says, wait a minute, I found the solution. I got to learn to praise God. I got to learn to celebrate God in the midst of my issues, in the midst of my pain of my past. I've got to learn to say, blessed be the name of the Lord, no matter how I feel about what has happened to me or where I'm going. In verse 11 of Psalm 32, David says, celebrate God, sing together, everyone, all you honest hearts, raise the roof. And Aaron Boone, we are ready for you to raise the roof again. And this time on Blessed Be the Name. Praise God, live in the studio. And she sings and plays every Sunday at Beacon of Hope. Here she is, Erin Boone.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name.
that. I love that song. You did it great today, speaking of hope, too. Psalm 33, good people cheer God. I love that in the Message Bible. Psalm 33, verse 1, good people cheer God. David says, right living people sound best when praising. How about that? We sound best when we're doing what you were just doing, Aaron. We sound best when we're praising. Use guitars. This is what it says right here in Psalm 33. Use guitars to reinforce your hallelujahs. That's cool, isn't it? Use guitars to reinforce your hallelujahs. Play his praise on a grand piano. Cool. Invent your own new song to him and give him a trumpet. Fanfare. You write music. Nathan writes music. Invent your own song to him. And verse 4 of Psalm 33 says, for God's word is solid to the core. Everything he makes is sound inside and out. He loves it when everything fits. When the world is in plumb line true, earth is drenched in God's affectionate satisfaction. What God is saying here to us in Psalms is he wants us to celebrate him in song. I don't know about you, but when we get to the place that we realize that God's grace and his kindness are for us all the time, that's what he is. He's full of grace and truth. Then it becomes a little easier to thank God, even when we're in the midst of the trial, because we know that we need problems. We need situations in our lives so that we learn the lessons God wants us to learn. You want to comment on that? Because that's so true, isn't it?
It is. Oh, it is true. And that's when we depend on God the most. You know, that's when we're in the valley and we're hitting rock bottom. That's right. That's when we come so close to God.
Right.
You know, that's when we depend on him and when we grow in him and we seek him because we have nothing. We realize that we have nothing
exactly
without him.
Right. And when we get to that point where we need him, we need what he has for us, and we need to take that grace and kindness on a daily basis, our lives begin to change. Because I think so often what's keeping us from all that is feeling that unworthiness and feeling that there is just not that. God doesn't care. In fact, Bill, I want us to throw something in here. Let's do track 6, The Amazing Love that Michael W. Smith and Melinda Doolittle recorded. I love this song, and I think it's going to set the stage as we pray for the needs of the people right now. Track 6.
My steps were wandering. My lips were hungering. My heart was thundering for something more than all those things. My words were crying out. My faith was dark and doubt. My life was lost without this one amazing love washing over me.
Praise God. I have never heard that song. That is great. Really good song, Michael W. Smith and Melinda Doolittle. It's all about his great love, and that's how come he gives us his grace and his mercy. That's how come he gives us the kindness, because he loves us so much. Everything we've been talking about today is all about Jesus, who loves his children, you, no matter what your circumstances are out there in Radio Land right now. God loves you so much, and then it is your choice whether you accept that love, this amazing love, and walk in it. And allow God to do the healing in you so that his grace and his kindness can come in down on the inside of you and change you and heal the hurt and heal the pain. We're going to pray right now. There are several that are in need. And Lord, we just come before you. We just remember Jim, who's at the hospital right now. We've heard from them, and he is in a great deal of physical pain. Lord, we just remind you of that, and we just stand against that pain in his body. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you reach down and you touch his body right this moment. Lord, there are others that are listening now that are in emotional pain. There are some that have been listening to the words in this radio show, and they've been saying, I can identify with that. I've lived that. I understand that hurt. I understand the abuse, the pain from the abuse of my childhood. I understand those things, and I need God to come in and begin the healing process in me. If that is you right now, just get on board with your healing. Get on board with the amazing grace of God, that God just wants to reach down in his almighty love and his concern for you and begin to heal your broken heart, because that's what grace is all about. God's unmerited favor that reaches down into those really hidden memories and those hidden traumas of our past and brings the healing that only God can do. So, Lord, for those right now listening or that will listen in the future on our website to this show, Lord, let there be a determination, a decision, an act of volition in their lives where they say, all right, God, I am willing for you to begin this healing process. Show me your grace. Teach me all about it. Teach me about your unmerited favor for me. Teach me about your great love for me. Teach me about your kindness, because I need to feel it. And that's what it's all about. So, Lord, I just ask that all these that are making those decisions right now to begin to walk in your grace and your kindness and your mercy will reach out to you in faith and will take the healing that you have and will walk in it, learn it, and allow you to do the work that you want to do in their lives. Lord, if there is anybody out there that just needs a special touch in their physical body, we just speak healing across these airwaves right now. We know that Jesus is the healer. And we ask you, God, to reach down and touch their bodies, their minds, and their emotions. And Lord, we just know that you're the one that comes and delivers us and sets us free. So we thank you for that work that's going on in the inside of so many right now and in the future when people listen to the show. So, God, you are the great almighty healer. You are our deliverer. You are the God who sees ahead and makes provision for every need that we have. And for those that are struggling right now, Lord, we ask that you reach down and make provision for those emotional needs and the healing to flow. Thank you, God. We just see it happening right now across the globe as this show goes out. We just believe that there will be many who will reach out and take that healing now and take the grace, the kindness, and the truth, the mercy that you provide through your son, Jesus. It's right there for us. We just have to receive it. So, Lord, we thank you for these answers to prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
I'm telling you, look, you saw me in there. He brought him right here to me.
Amen.
See?
I'm asking for a congressman. Here's a mother of a congressman.
How about that?
Right here.
All right.
See? Look at that.
So we never know what God's going to do, right? He just meets our needs in unusual ways. So thank you, God, for what you're doing. We welcome you to Beacon of Hope. We are located in Clearwater, 3700 Almerton Road. And easy to find in Suite 206, maybe five also. You never know what God's going to do there.
Maybe and 201 through 6.
You never know what God's going to do. But we just thank God for that opportunity that where we are. And it's been good. It's been really good to be there. So our Sunday morning service is at 10 a.m. And it's just what happens at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, Aaron? I'm going to ask you what happens on Wednesday night. What happens on Sunday morning?
We have church.
We have church. We have wild praise and worship and celebration, don't we?
I'm just going to say, though, it doesn't start at 10. I mean, the service might start at 10, but...
starts at 9.
Yeah.
We get there and start practicing at 9. Wow,
things start moving and the Holy Spirit start working.
So right, girl.
And then we go in and have our prayer meeting.
Yeah. We come out at 10 and... and just
fired up. Like it's like a pep rally. It's like our own little pep rally right there in the office.
It really is. God does a mighty thing. And we have great music and anointed word, ministry to people, and amazing things happen. There were so many up there for prayer today. It was crowded on the front. It was wonderful to see what God was doing. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we want you to come and join us and visit for a service Sunday mornings at 10. And then, of course, this radio show live every Sunday at 4 o'clock. Connie, what happens on Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope?
Wednesday night, 6:15 is prayer meeting. 7 o'clock is Bible study. It's an interactive Bible study. Just bring your notebooks and your Bible and supper. A lot of people come from work, so they bring their supper with them. And... we just dig in.
Yeah, get in the Word. I'm teaching this new series, Hearing from God. Actually, it's called Say What? But it's about from God. What? There you go. That's how you say it. And it's all about hearing from God. And we were at a packed house last Wednesday night. We're excited about that. Come and bring your Bible and get involved Wednesday nights.
We'll make room for you.
We'll make room for you at 7 o'clock. The other thing, well, there's several things that we do at Beacon of Hope. One of those is the nursing home ministry the first Sunday of the month. That's such a blessing, isn't it?
It's the best.
At Palm Garden, and my mother and Jeannie, our member, were there for a while. And so we began doing services there about a year and a half ago, and it's such a blessing. The first Sunday of every month, 1:30, if you're around Palm Garden there at Curlew and McMullen booth. And we also have a powerful time. Just the time of getting to know each other with just breakfast today, and a lot of times there's lunch, and we will do that again in February, and once a month a get together. It's a powerful time. It's a fun time. The other thing is, if there's a prayer need, we welcome you to use our 24/7 365 prayer line, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And you can just write an email there. If you want to be on the prayer team, we want you to join us. We have a lot of people around the globe. Join us, be on the prayer team, simply by sending an email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com and ask to be put on the prayer team, and we will do that and get you on. So that's what's going on in our neck of the woods, and it's all good. So we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you have to say. You can contact me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Pastor Jim, who is my associate pastor, is pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Our prayer line, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you will find out a lot about the ministry and what we do, what we believe in, and just all that God is doing, and it's all good. There's no distance. There's no distance from love of God, God's love for us. He loves us so much. We're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We welcome you to tune in next Sunday, 4 o'clock, and join us. It's been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Connie Farmer, Aaron Boone, enjoying being with you today on Living the Good Life. God bless you. Have a great week.
Safely to his side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. From here to Jesus. It's not far.